right. Welcome, everyone, to the 10th episode of the podcast, dude. My name is Aaron Dowd, and I'm a guy that is interested in podcasting. So I started a podcast about podcasting. It's very meta, I'm aware. So today's episode is called I Want to Start a Podcast, But. And I want to address this because I hear a lot of different reasons. I think a lot of different fears that people have that keep them from creating something, from starting a podcast or a blog or a YouTube channel, really any kind of creative output that could help them grow an audience and establish them as an authority in their field. So my hope with this episode is to help you overcome some of these things, but also break you out of that mindset that you might be in, the mindset that's keeping you from starting something. So the show today is about overcoming the fears that are keeping you from creating a podcast. And I would really like to hear if you have any roadblocks that are keeping you from starting something, please send me an email, aaron@thepodcastdude.com. I want to hear about it because I'm going to address a bunch of things today, but I'm curious about what you're struggling with so I can address that. I'll probably end up visiting this topic in a future episode as well, just because there's so many things. So I think a lot of the things I'm going to cover today could apply to a variety of different media. So podcasts, blog, YouTube channels. But the main question I'm looking at is, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from starting? As I was brainstorming and coming up with questions, all the reasons I've heard, you know, over the past couple of years of why people don't start podcasts, the main ones that I came up with, and I asked this question in the community chat, and I got a bunch of questions, so I'm going to address those at the end, but the main reasons, I think, came up with 7. And the first one, I'm going to go over these real quick, and then I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into them. So the first one is, I'm not sure what to podcast about or what topics I should cover. The second was, I don't know anything about recording or editing audio. Third, I don't have enough money to buy good gear. Fourth, it seems like so many people are already podcasting. Why would anyone care what I have to say? And how do I stand out? Number 5, this is a big one. I hear this a lot. I don't have the time. Number 6, I'm not good at speaking. Number 7, I don't know anything about making a website. So let's go ahead and dive in. The first one, I'm not sure what to podcast about or what topics I should cover. And I really understand this one because I was asking myself this question for about a year before I finally started my podcast. I was worried that after a few months, I would run out of things to talk about. I was also worried that the topics I covered wouldn't be interesting to my audience. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But I have a few questions for you to help you figure out what you should be podcasting about. First, what are you really passionate about? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? What are you constantly excited about learning about? What do you love spending your time on? So there are so many examples of people making great podcasts that I could bring in, but I just wanted to mention a couple so you can get an idea of what other people are doing out in the podcast world. First example I want to mention is Chris Coyer. So Chris Coyer has 2 podcasts, The Shop Talk Show and Code Pen Radio. Both are focused around his passion, which is web design and development. He loves learning about web design, so he started The Shop Talk Show, the podcast, with another guy who loves web design, Dave Rupert. So they talk about web design, they interview people who love talking about web design, and they invite their audience to ask them questions about web design so they have more to talk about. And I think this is one of the main reasons their show has been so successful. The hosts are passionate about web design, and they've consistently shown up every week to do a show for the past 3 years. The second example, there's a guy I met from a punk band called Off With Their Heads. His name is Ryan Young. Ryan started a podcast called Anxious and Angry back in March of 2014, because he wanted to share his struggles with depression, anger, and all the difficulties of being an independent touring musician. He's obviously passionate about music, but like so many people, I think especially in rock and punk rock, he struggles with self-destructive tendencies. So he talks about those things and he asks his listeners to write in with questions or to share their struggles, which he then brings onto the show and talks about. He also interviews other musicians and highlights bands that he likes. My third example are Graham Cochran from recordingrevolution.com and Joe Gilder from homestudio.com. Both of these guys are passionate about writing, recording, mixing, and mastering music. They have created huge communities of people who share their passion because they share everything they learn about and they ask their audience what they're struggling with. So what I've realized in my short time of producing a podcast, and I got to mention, this is the 10th episode. I made it to 10. Woo! That's me getting excited. What I found that is the more podcasting I do, the more topics I find to share. I feel like after 10 shows, I'm just now seeing the tip of the iceberg that is topics that I could do podcasts about. And I think there are two reasons for this. The first is, since I've committed to producing a show every week, I've started capturing topics as I come across them. So I'm following and listening to people who share my passion for podcasting to see what they're talking about. I get inspiration from them. I learn from them. And then I share what I've learned in my own words through the lens of my experience. I'm becoming a part of the broader conversation about podcasting. And the second reason, as I produce more and more content, people are beginning to see me as an expert in this field, and they've started asking me questions. Now, this keeps me grounded and connected to what my audience is struggling with and what they're interested in. And I encourage this by asking for questions and feedback. I want to know what other people are thinking and what their opinions are about the things that I share on my show. So this is what you have to ask yourself. What community do you want to be a part of? Or what community are you already a part of? And do you want to be known as an expert in that community? If you start a podcast about whatever it is you're passionate about, you'll build relationships. You'll make new friends. You'll get new work opportunities. And the same will be true for the people that become part of your community through your podcast. So I heard a term the other day on a podcast that I really, really liked. And the question was, they brought this up, who is your audience of one? So I really like that question. Who is your audience of one? The idea is that when you're starting to shape the way your podcast is, when you're starting to think about topics to come up with, you create that podcast for one other person. You think about doing it for a single person. You have a clear idea in your mind about who that person is and what they're interested in. Chances are, if you're passionate about something, there are plenty of other people out there who are equally passionate about that topic. So for me, for example, my audience of one is someone interested in learning about podcasting. So I think to myself, if I was hanging out with someone who is interested in podcasting, what kinds of questions would they ask me? What would we talk about? What would they be interested in hearing me talk about? And that helps me decide what it is I'm going to podcast about. So I think if you have a business or if you're some kind of professional or aspiring professional, what can you talk about that would help your potential clients? What stories could you share? Also, what could you teach someone who is brand new to your field? What could you teach or share with someone who is at or around your level of expertise? So these are the kinds of things I keep in mind when I'm preparing for my shows. And I think that if you think about these questions, they'll help you find and shape the message and point of your podcast. So I got a great question from Brent Galloway this morning. He asked, with the content I produce, should I be concerned with it attracting two different audiences? And those two audiences would be other designers. He's a graphic designer, good graphic designer. Just put up his first video this morning. Congratulations, Brent. So he's got two potential audiences, other designers who want to learn from him and potential clients. He says, most of my content will be design-oriented. Most of my content will be design-oriented, but my site's primary goal is to bring in client work. So this is kind of tricky. Should you podcast or create content for other people who share your passion or for potential clients. Now, I think that creating for the other people that share your passion, and in Brent's case, that's graphic design, creating content for those people will also attract clients that want to work with people who are known for being an expert in that field. Even if the client just skims your list of podcasts, or say you have a YouTube channel, if they skim your list of video titles or podcast titles, and they see the wealth of knowledge that you've shared, that you've podcasted about, that you've done videos about, they will trust that you have experience, and they'll feel confident that you are capable of solving their design problem for them. This will help you attract the right kind of client as well, because you'll attract clients that want to hire someone for their expertise because you're a professional and not because you're the cheapest. All right, let's go to number two. I don't know anything about recording or editing audio. So I hear this one a lot too. I have to say, I talk a lot about the importance of audio quality because I believe high quality audio is one of the most overlooked factors in why some shows are more successful than others. And I want you to have a successful show. Sounding great can help your show be successful and grow more. But what I don't want is for you to wait to publish anything until you have the perfect setup and the perfect sound. Because let's be honest, I really, really doubt any of us are ever going to have the perfect setup or the perfect sound. Another thing you should do if you're podcasting is make sure that you set your phone to silent. I got a call from Florida, so I'm guessing it's Ryan Strickler. Ryan, where are you? Holler. Preferably turn your phone to silent mode, Bluetooth. Anyways, where was I? Okay, yeah, now I know. What I don't want for you... Can I just start over? Let's just scrap the show. Start from the beginning. No. What I don't want is for you to wait to publish anything until you have the perfect setup and the perfect sound, because we're not ever going to get there. I know, because I'm already looking at microphones in the $600 to $1,000 range and being like, ooh, I bet it would sound really good if I had those microphones. But you don't have to wait to start. You don't have to understand everything about making audio sound good before you start. You don't even have to get the editing right the first time. So I'm going to bring in a little story here about starting. When I started playing drums at 12 years old, it was because I was intrigued by them. I wanted to learn how to play that instrument that had so many different pieces and sounds. I wanted to participate in a band, be the guy that held down the rhythm. But there were so many things that I didn't know. I didn't know any of the brands of the companies that made drums and cymbals. I didn't know anything about how the size of the drums affected the way they sound. I didn't understand or have much control over the dynamics of my playing. And I certainly didn't have any idea about how to make a living as a musician. But that didn't keep me from getting started. The very first step was to pick up the drumsticks. After that, I learned a few common rhythm patterns. These are commonly called rudiments. Then I sat behind a drum set and I learned how to play a couple of basic rock beats. Eventually, I learned how to play entire songs. Fast forward 13 years and almost 10,000 hours later, and I was playing in front of hundreds of people's I was playing in front of hundreds of people getting paid money to play drums. And I'm telling you this because you have to take that first step if you want to get better. And then you have to take the next step and the next step, and you have to keep taking steps. So what is that first step in starting a podcast? You just have to choose a topic and then talk about it. That's it. That's the one simple trick to becoming a podcaster. So you figure out what you want to talk about. So I want to talk about this, or I want to tell this story. People love stories. And if you like having structure, then write a short outline. Just a couple of bullet points or important things that you want to remember to share. So you've got your topic or your story. Now you find a quiet room, pick up your iPhone or whatever phone you're using, open the voice recorder app, hold it about a foot from your face, microphone pointed at you. That's important. And just talk. Talk for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. Whatever you need, whatever you feel comfortable with. And if you aren't used to talking out loud to your phone, it might feel a little weird at first, but it'll get easier over time. So now you've got that recording. You send the audio file you recorded to your computer and maybe trim the beginning and the end if you want to. Yeah, open up iTunes, drop it in there, right click on it, get info, add the title. You want to tag, look up MP3 tags. You're going to need to know how to do that. That's pretty quick. Tag that. You got to create some artwork. So you open up any kind of image editing software, any kind of graphic design software, create a JPEG that is 1400 by 1400 pixels. Give it a solid color background, put some text on it, you know, the title of your podcast. You set up an account on Simplecast, upload the audio file, upload the artwork, and boom, you've got a podcast. You're now on your way to becoming a professional podcaster. And now that you've done it once, you can do it again. So number three, and this ties in, I don't have enough money to buy good gear. Now at some point, if you're using your iPhone, you might want to upgrade microphones. You'll know when you're ready. But you've created a podcast. Is it as high quality as what you could get with a $500 setup? No. But you don't need a $500 setup to be a podcaster. When I started playing drums, I had a pair of sticks and a little practice pad. After a year, my parents bought me a used $300 drum kit. It was crap. After 10 years, I had upgraded to over $2,000 worth of professional gear, but that professional gear wouldn't have made me a better drummer in the beginning. I had to learn how to play drums before the gear even mattered. So use what you have and improve as you go. I want to give you permission to not get everything perfect the first time or even the first 20 times. I'm still improving my show. It's been 10 episodes and I'm still working on it. It's a journey. It's not a pass-fail test. No one is going to kick you off the internet if you mess something up. The important thing is to start and then keep going. If you care about getting better, you'll find ways to improve and get better as you go. Let's go to number four. It seems like so many people are already podcasting. Why would anyone care what I have to say, and how do I stand out? Now, I think no one is going to care is just an excuse that we tell ourselves because we're afraid of rejection or we're afraid of not receiving attention. I believe that there are tons of people out there that need the knowledge you can share. Maybe you won't start off with thousands of listeners, but everyone has to start somewhere. If you clearly define the why of your podcast, the reason you're doing it, who it's for, who your audience is, the other people that share your interests will find you. And that's the beauty of the internet and search engines. And when you start, you might be podcasting to crickets for a while. And that's okay. Keep going. Go out and find the questions that people in your audience are asking. If you don't have an audience yet, figure out the kind of people that you want in your audience and then go out and find what those people are asking. Number five, I don't have the time. Now, this is true for all of us. So many of us, especially if you're motivated, if you have a lot of passions, if you have a lot of hobbies, if you have a family, if you have a full-time job, it's hard to find time. It's hard to make time. And that's the key difference. But Eric said in the chat, the main thing that is keeping me from starting a podcast is that I can see how much work goes into making a good one. And it's pretty daunting. Lately, I have been sticking to mediums and platforms that are working for me rather than jumping into a whole new world and adding that on to my weekly plate. Now, I will admit that podcasting does take time, but there are different levels of commitment and how much time it'll take you. So one of those shows I mentioned earlier, Joe Gilder, who does the Home Studio Corner podcast, he said something really interesting in one of the episodes. He said he gives himself an hour to produce each episode, just a single hour. And when I heard that, I was kind of blown away. I was like, nah, dude, like no way. His show sounds good. I don't think he scripts for it, but he sounds really, really good. He's an audio engineer, so I'd hope it would sound good. But it's a very interesting show. He does something like 15 minutes of a monologue where he talks about audio, And then he answers questions for like 30 minutes or something, 15, 20, somewhere in there. But it's really interesting. So just an hour, he says, he spends, I think he was joking, but he said he spends the first 15 minutes on his intro, which probably is a joke, but then something like 30 minutes to record the podcast and then 15 minutes to do the editing, add the music, export it, and then upload it. So that's an hour every week, and that's crazy. And I know that this is because he's been doing it for a while. He has experience with audio. But like anything else, as you do something more, you'll get better at it. You'll get faster at it. Got another great question, or really just a comment from Charlie in the chat. She said, "What's holding me back from starting a design blog, which I really want to do to start trying to get client work, is what's holding me back is all the other projects that I'm committed to and I love doing." So I thought that was really interesting. And I just had a couple of questions for you, Charlie. The first one is, what if you could get better clients? And what I mean by that is, I believe you're working a full-time job now, but what if you could work with people that you were really, really excited to work with? Just someone you really, really look up to and that you would love to collaborate with. And also, do you currently have any projects or work that you're doing that you aren't really super stoked about? And do you foresee yourself wanting to transition into something else later down the line? And I have to say, I'm not here to convince you guys to start a podcast. If what you're doing is working well for you, that's fine. Keep doing it. But if you have plenty of money but are short on time, you can hire people to help you with the editing, the show notes, and the admin work. My friend and boss, Sean McCabe, he does this. A lot of people that I know do this, actually. They spend maybe an hour each week preparing for the show, and then they record. And after that, they don't have to do much else. The show gets fixed up by other people and then published. Also, there's no rule that says you have to record an hour-long podcast and also write 5,000 words of show notes. That's something we do on the Sean West Network because Sean is a slave driver. I'm just kidding, Sean. I'll cut that out. When you're just starting out, it's okay to limit your show to 15 minutes or less. As you get better and more experienced, you might find yourself wanting to do longer shows. Another thing I wanted to bring up about the whole time thing. I heard a great story today on the Mac Power Users podcast. They had a guest on. Guy's name was John Gruber. Some of you might know him. He does the blog about Apple, a very popular blog about Apple called Daring Fireball. In the episode, in the Mac Power Users episode, which is actually a great podcast. Go check that out if you have a Mac and you aren't listening to it already. But in that episode, he described how he got a full-time job from someone who was a reader of his site. Someone offered him a job just because they liked the stuff he was putting on the internet. So think about that. What if I told you that if you invested an hour or two of your time every week to create a podcast, if you invested that time, it would eventually lead to better job opportunities or new clients? Would you invest that time? And something else I want you to think about. Are there things that you could give up to create time for podcasting? How much time are you spending browsing social media or Reddit? How much TV do you watch every week? We all have an equal amount of time, but it's up to us to decide how to use it. Number 6, I'm not good at speaking. I mentioned earlier that Brent Galloway, he posted his first YouTube video today. I believe it's his first. I watched it. Great video, great audio. He was talking about it in the community chat today, and Sean said something to him that I thought was really profound, so I wanted to read it here. So Sean said to Brent, he wrote, "It's crazy. You probably feel like you're just sort of sticking your neck out there, and you see all the things that you need to improve and do better. But for every one Brent, there's 99 others who just sit back and passively listen to the Sean West podcast, or I think in this case, any other kind of media. You are the 1% of people who are actually doing, and you're so far ahead." And this is really, really true. I've been here. I've struggled with the hardest thing is recording a podcast, stressing about it, trying to do a good job, and then listening back and then thinking like, wow, that was terrible. Like, I can't believe I screwed up that word. I can't believe I talked in monotone for 15 minutes. But Sean's right. If we put ourselves out there, if we try, if we create stuff, there are going to be 100 other people that are going to consume that and that are not taking that risk, because it is a risk and it is scary. So if you're still worried about, if you feel like you're not a good speaker, then I encourage you to check out episode 9, the podcast I just did last week. It's all about speaking. And there's some great advice in there. So go listen to that. It's thepodcastdude.com/9. And also, there's a guy, Roger Love, speech coach to the stars, who has given some really, really great advice and talks on YouTube about that. So Google Roger Love and watch his stuff. You'll learn a ton from just those two resources. All right, but let's keep it going, because I've got a lot of questions I need to get to. So the final one, number 7, I don't know anything about making a website. So the good news is that you don't actually have to have a full website to start a podcast. I mentioned Simplecast earlier. Simplecast is $12 a month, and it'll give you everything you need to get going. No coding, no graphic design, no complicated setup. It's like creating any other social profile online. Username, put in a few fields, set up your credit card, boom, you're ready to go. And if you really want a website that you can control, I recommend Squarespace. It's a really great solution for just getting a blog going, for getting a website without having to do any coding. So I hope this has helped you guys. I really hope that you can find the strength and find the courage to go out and start that thing and to make those things that you want to make. There's all kinds of reasons not to do something. And I know, because I really should have started my own podcast a year ago, really. But I had lots of excuses. I had lots of fears that were keeping me from starting. Lots of little things, little steps. But I think if you just start taking those steps, you'll get there and you'll learn a ton of things. And all that pays off in the long run. So going to wrap this up real quick, get to questions in the after show. If you have any thoughts, if you have any feedback or questions about all the stuff I talked about today, feel free to send me an email, aaron@thepodcastdude.com. I'd love to hear them. I love talking to you guys. Thanks everyone in the Sean West community for showing up. Awesome to hang out with you guys and talk to you. You guys have given me tons and tons of questions, and I really, really appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing your fears. Listener, if you have not checked out the Sean West podcast and the Sean West community, go to seanwest.com. It's fantastic. I highly, highly recommend it. If you want to help out the show, please go to iTunes, thepodcastdude.com/iTunes, and leave me a review. I would love 5 stars, but if you want to give me less, just tell me why. That's fair. I'm open to feedback. Honest. Don't be a jerk, or I'll find you. All right, no, really. Thank you guys for showing up. Thanks for listening. Sean always says, you're going to wish you had started sooner. That's really, really true. So just start today. All right, let's get into questions. Garrett asked, I'm afraid the thing I make will take off, because it will. I like your confidence, Garrett. I like that. And then people will start looking into my history and they'll find my high school live journal that I can't remember the password for. Was that really a joke? I can cut all this out. No, I think this is a valid question. I actually had some thoughts on this. It's a valid point. I think we all have those old blogs, those old pictures. The good news is that most people are not going to care enough to go digging around in your past. And if they do, it's probably because they really like you and they want a deeper connection. They probably have old embarrassing blogs of their own. So I wouldn't worry too much about the tiny number of people that might go snooping around just to dig up dirt, because those people are jerks and no one likes them anyways. Ben Tolson said, I don't have time to do a podcast and a weekly blog and a weekly newsletter and a weekly vlog, which stands for video blog, I believe. What should I focus on? And my response to this is, Ben, you're already doing three of those four things, which is more than what most people do. So for those of you who don't know who Ben Tolson is, he's the co-host of the Sean West podcast, and he also does a show with his wife, a podcast with his wife called In the Boat with Ben. And it's about parenting, but so many other things too. It's a fantastic show. Go check that out. So he does a weekly podcast, but he also writes extensive show notes, what I would call a blog post. And he sends those show notes out to an email list. And that's just how we do things on the Sean West Network. We record a show, we write lots of show notes for it. In my case, I often write a lot of these show notes beforehand, but that's a story for another day. But we take those show notes and we put them into MailChimp and we send out an email newsletter to all the subscribers on our list. And you can do something similar with your show. And it is a lot of work. It's a little bit more work. But I think it's easier than producing three separate pieces of content every week. So imagine if you were to do a podcast about a topic and then a blog post about another topic and then an email newsletter about another topic. I think that's going to take up a lot more time than if your whole focus is to create one really great piece of content. Like in my case right now, the main content I create every week is this podcast. So I spend all week writing and preparing for it. And then I record the podcast. Burps are the worst. And then I record the podcast, and then I edit the podcast, and then I write the show notes for the podcast. I post that on Sean's website, seanwest.com, or thepodcastdude.com. And then I copy those show notes into a MailChimp template, and I send that out. So, yeah, I would say repurpose your content for different mediums as much as possible. So, Sarah asked, my husband and I did about 30 episodes of a podcast, but now it's at a standstill because of me. And I'm curious to know what you meant by that exactly. Maybe you're just not into it. Maybe you're not feeling it. But she asked, not sure if I want to continue with it. Not really gaining traction that I know of. And also, I'm not sure what I'm trying to get out of it. I think he was more into it than I was. So how long should it take to start receiving feedback, comments, and a little more traffic from a podcast if done regularly? So this is really hard. If you create a show that isn't gaining traction or resonating with anyone, I would first take a long, hard look at the content. Are you addressing topics that your audience are interested in? Are you asking them for feedback and questions? Are you having conversations with people about those topics? I don't think regularly producing a show is good enough if you aren't creating content that resonates with people. Also, if your podcast is extremely, extremely niche, there may not be that many people who share your passion that are also interested in listening to your podcast. You should also think a lot about audio quality and SEO. So if you have a podcast and you do a good job with the titles, so you're titling the episodes something that you know people are going to want to click on and listen to, that helps. But then if you don't have show notes, if you don't have anything else in like the blog post area of where you post the episode, you're missing out on a big opportunity to get more search traffic. And I encourage you to go back and listen to episode 5 of my podcast, which is how to supercharge your podcast with writing and increase its value. A lot of good stuff in there about why show notes are important and how you can create them. Because I think you can get a ton and ton of organic search traffic from Google if you structure your show notes, if you write a decent amount of show notes in the first place. And I think it's a missed opportunity if you don't, because you've already recorded that content. You've already come up with that content. It's going to take you just a little bit more time to work through it and write that stuff out. And so structure your headlines. I like what Sean says about this. Structure your headlines so that they are a takeaway in and of it themselves. Structure them so that if someone only read the headlines in your show notes, they would kind of get the idea of the episode. And also audio quality. Because audio quality, I think it's hard, because if someone comes to your show, if you're just recording with an iPhone in a noisy room, or if you're recording with a laptop microphone, there's a certain minimum, I think. And some people are going to have a higher tolerance for poor audio quality than others. Like, there's a lot of shows that I hear that I just won't listen to. I think some people might be a little bit more forgiving. But I don't reach out and tell those people that I stopped listening to their show because of their audio quality. I just turn it off. I'm gone. Maybe I'll come back. If it's a show that I subscribe to regularly and they don't always have that problem. But if it's a show that I just found, if it's a brand new show to me, and I listen to it and it sounds really bad, first, I'm not going to subscribe. Second, I'm probably not going to go back or pay any more attention to it, because there are just so many other shows out there that have great content and also really good sound quality. So this comes back to why I encourage everyone to invest in a good microphone and invest in... take the time to learn how to set input gain levels and just do the very basics of post-production. Don't even have to do anything fancy. You just have to reach that minimum quality level. So I would think about content. I would think about SEO, your show notes. And then I also think about audio quality. And at some point, if your heart's not in it, it's okay to stop. Don't call it a failure. Call it success in progress. Go on and do something else that you feel more passionate about if it's not working. All right, had another question here. I hope I'm not going to get your name wrong. I believe it was Satvik. I think I did okay. So Satvik asks, my clients are pretty specific, CEOs of growing startups with complex accounting needs. How do I figure out whether a podcast, a blog, videos, or referrals are the right way to reach them? First off, I think word of mouth referrals are the best way if you want to get a new client. That's the absolute best. Having someone's friends tell them about, so-and-so, hey, it was great to work with this guy. He really knows what he's talking about. That's fantastic. As far as the content side of things, so podcasts, blog, videos, start by figuring out what kinds of things your clients are interested in learning about. So what are they into? What are they struggling with? What did they want to learn about? And can you create that content for them? So if you want to start with writing, start with writing. Write a blog post that answers the question that you think a lot of your clients have. Write a blog post about how you solved a problem for one of your clients. I would write as much time as you have, write as many blog posts as you can about all the different problems you've solved, because then other people with those problems will find that post and read them. And they'll start to see you as someone who can solve that problem, and they'll want to work with you. And then you can turn those blog posts into podcasts and into videos. So that's where I would start. All right. Yeah, Winston said, okay, a little bit of backstory. Back to the client. Winston Scully, what's up, man? He's not a client of mine, but he's just a member of the community. And he asked me early last weekend, if I had any recommendations for drum mics and interfaces. Basically the question was, how do I record drums? And I know he just got done with college, so money is a concern for him. He's just not going to throw $10,000 at this problem to make it go away. So what he really wanted was an affordable setup for recording drums. So what I did for him, instead of just texting him the answer and saying, these microphones, these interfaces, you know, these cables, these stands, I created a blog post. And the title of my blog post, I put best affordable recording setup for drums. And inside, I wrote out all the microphones he needs, what interface he should buy, the accessories, like the stands and the cables. And I posted that to my personal website. And now anyone who's looking for the answer to that question will go and find it. If they type in best affordable recording setup for drums, I'm pretty sure I Googled that in the past at some point. That'll pop up. They'll read it. I don't care too much about getting clients from that. It's just something that I did to help Winston because he's my friend. And anyone who's interested in learning about drums, because that's one of my passions. So, all right, unless you guys have any other questions, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Thanks for hanging out. It's a good time. I believe I will see you all again next week, unless something terribly tragic happens. And then, you know, Winston, you can have my drums.